Episode 85 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. I'm Steve Webb. Thanks for being with me today. Leviticus chapter 5, Mark chapter 9, and Psalms chapter 7 are on today's agenda. Our translation is the Contemporary English Version. Leviticus chapter 25. When Moses was on Mount Sinai, the Lord told him to say to the community of Israel, "After you enter the land that I am giving you, it must be allowed to rest 1 year out of every seven. You may raise grain and grapes for 6 years, but the seventh year you must let your fields and vineyards rest in honor of me, your Lord. This is to be a time of complete rest for your fields and vineyards, so don't harvest anything they produce. However, you and your slaves and your hired workers, as well as any domestic or wild animals, may eat whatever grows on its own. Once every 49 years, on the 10th day of the 7th month, which is also the great day of forgiveness, trumpets are to be blown everywhere in the land. This 50th year is sacred. It is a time of freedom and of celebration when everyone will receive back their original property, and slaves will return home to their families. This is a year of complete celebration, so don't plant any seed or harvest what your fields or vineyards produce. In this time of sacred celebration, you may eat only what grows on its own. During this year, all property must go back to its original owner. So when you buy or sell farmland, the price is to be determined by the number of crops it can produce before the next year of celebration. Don't try to cheat. If it is a long time before the next year of celebration, the price will be higher, because what is really being sold are the crops that the land can produce. I am the Lord your God, so obey me and don't cheat anyone. If you obey my laws and teachings, you will live safely in the land and enjoy its abundant crops. Don't ever worry about what you will eat during the seventh year when you are forbidden to plant or harvest. I will see to it that you harvest enough in the sixth year to last for 3 years. In the eighth year, you will live on what you harvested in the sixth year, but in the ninth year, you will eat what you plant and harvest in the eighth year. No land may be permanently bought or sold. It all belongs to me. It isn't your land, and you only live there for a little while. When property is being sold, the original owner must be given the first chance to buy it. If any of you Israelites become so poor that you're forced to sell your property, your closest relative must buy it back, if that relative has the money. Later, if you can afford to buy it, you must pay enough to make up for what the present owner will lose on it before the next year of celebration, when the property would become yours again. But if you don't have the money to pay the present owner a fair price, you will have to wait until the year of celebration, when the property will once again become yours. If you sell a house in a walled city, you have only 1 year in which to buy it back. If you don't buy it back before that year is up, it becomes the permanent property of the one who bought it, and it will not be returned to you in the year of celebration. But a house out in a village may be bought back at any time, just like a field, and it must be returned to its original owner in the year of celebration. If any Levites own houses inside a walled city, they will always have the right to buy them back. And any houses that they do not buy back will be returned to them in the year of celebration, because these homes are their permanent property among the people of Israel. No pasture land owned by the Levi tribe can ever be sold. It is their permanent possession. If any of your people become poor and unable to support themselves, you must help them, just as you are supposed to help foreigners who live among you. Don't take advantage of them by charging any kind of interest or selling them food for profit. Instead, honor me by letting them stay where they now live. Remember, I am the Lord your God. I rescued you from Egypt and gave you the land of Canaan so that I would be your God. Suppose some of your people become so poor that they have to sell themselves and become your slaves. Then you must treat them as servants rather than as slaves, and in the year of celebration they are to be set free, so they and their children may return home to their families and property. I brought them out of Egypt to be my servants, not to be sold as slaves. So obey me and don't be cruel to the poor. If you want slaves, buy them from other nations or from the foreigners who live in your own country, and make them your property. You can own them and even leave them to your children when you die, but do not make slaves of your own people or be cruel to them. Even if some of you Israelites become so much in debt that you must sell yourselves to foreigners in your country, you still have the right to be set free by a relative, such as a brother or uncle or cousin or some other family member. In fact, if you ever get enough money, you may buy your own freedom by paying your owner for the number of years you would still be a slave before the next year of celebration. The longer the time until then, the more you'll have to pay. And even while you're the slaves of foreigners in your own country, your people must make sure that you are not mistreated. If you cannot gain your freedom in any of these ways, both you and your children will still be set free in the year of celebration. People of Israel, I am the Lord your God, and I brought you out of Egypt to be my own servants. Mark chapter 9. I can assure you that some of the people standing here will not die before they see God's kingdom come with power. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him. They went up on a high mountain where they could be alone. There, in front of the disciples, Jesus was completely changed, and his clothes became much whiter than any bleach on earth could make them. Then Elijah and Moses appeared and were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Teacher, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But Peter and the others were terribly frightened, and he did not know what he was talking about. The shadow of a cloud passed over and covered them. From the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, and I love him. Listen to what he says." At once the disciples looked around, but they saw only Jesus. As Jesus and his disciples were coming down the mountain, he told them not to say a word about what they had seen until the Son of Man had been raised from death. So they kept it to themselves, but they wondered what he had meant by the words "raised from death." The disciples asked Jesus, "Don't the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come before the Messiah does?" Jesus answered, "Elijah certainly will come to get everything ready. But don't the scriptures also say that the Son of Man must suffer terribly and be rejected? I can assure you that Elijah has already come, and people treated him just as they wanted to, as the scriptures said they would." When Jesus and his 3 disciples came back down, they saw a large crowd around the other disciples. The teachers of the law of Moses were arguing with them. The crowd was really surprised to see Jesus, and everyone hurried over to greet him. Jesus asked, "What are you arguing about?" Someone from the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought my son to you. A demon keeps him from talking. Whenever the demon attacks my son, it throws him to the ground and makes him foam at the mouth and grit his teeth in pain. Then he becomes stiff. I asked your disciples to force out the demon, but they couldn't do it." Jesus said, "You people don't have any faith. How much longer must I be with you? Why do I have to put up with you? Bring the boy to me." They brought the boy, and as soon as the demon saw Jesus, it made the boy shake all over. He fell down and began rolling on the ground and foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" The man answered, "Ever since he was a child. The demon has often tried to kill him by throwing him into a fire or into water. Please have pity and help us if you can." Jesus replied, "Why do you say 'if you can'? Anything is possible for someone who has faith." At once the boy's father shouted, "I do have faith. Please help me to have even more." When Jesus saw that a crowd was gathering fast, he spoke sternly to the evil spirit that had kept the boy from speaking or hearing. He said, "I order you to come out of the boy. Don't ever bother him again." The spirit screamed and made the boy shake all over. Then it went out of him. The boy looked dead, and almost everyone said he was. But Jesus took hold of his hand and helped him to stand up. After Jesus and the disciples had gone back home and were alone, they asked him, "Why couldn't we force out that demon?" Jesus answered, "Only prayer can force out this kind of demon." Jesus left with his disciples and started through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know about it, because he was teaching the disciples that the Son of Man would be handed over to people who would kill him, but 3 days later he would rise to life. The disciples did not understand what Jesus meant, and they were afraid to ask. Jesus and his disciples went to his home in Capernaum. After they were inside the house, Jesus asked them, "What were you arguing about along the way?" They had been arguing about which one of them was the greatest, and so they did not answer. After Jesus sat down and told the 12 disciples to gather around him, he said, "If you want the place of honor, you must become a slave and serve others." Then Jesus asked a child to stand near him. He put his arm around the child and said, "When you welcome even a child because of me, you welcome me. And when you welcome me, you welcome the one who sent me. Teacher, we saw a man using your name to force demons out of people, but he wasn't one of us, and we told him to stop." Jesus said to his disciples, "Don't stop him. No one who works miracles in my name will soon turn and say something bad about me. Anyone who isn't against us is for us, and anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name, just because you belong to me, will surely be rewarded. It will be terrible for people who cause even one of my little followers to sin. Those people would be better off thrown into the ocean with a heavy stone tied around their necks. So if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. You would be better off to go into life paralyzed than to have two hands and be thrown into the fires of hell that never go out. If your foot causes you to sin, chop it off. It would be better off to go into life lame than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. If your eye causes you to sin, get rid of it. You'd be better off to go into God's kingdom with only one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell. The worms there never die, and the fire never stops burning. Everyone must be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it no longer tastes like salt, how can it be made salty again? Have salt among you and live at peace with each other." Psalms chapter 7. You, Lord God, are my protector. Rescue me and keep me safe from all who chase me, or else they will rip me apart like lions attacking a victim, and no one will save me. I am innocent, Lord God. I have not betrayed a friend or had pity on an enemy who attacks for no reason. If I have done any of this, then let my enemies chase and capture me. Let them trample me to death and leave me in the dirt. Get angry, Lord God. Do something. Attack my furious enemies. See that justice is done. Make the nations come to you as you sit on your throne above them all. Our Lord, judge the nations. Judge me and show that I am honest and innocent. You know every heart and mind, and you always do right. Now make violent people stop, but protect all of us who obey you. You, God, are my shield, the protector of everyone whose heart is right. You see that justice is done, and each day you take revenge. Whenever your enemies refuse to change their ways, you sharpen your sword and string your bow. Your deadly arrows are ready with flaming tips. An evil person is like a woman about to give birth to a hateful, deceitful, and rebellious child. Such people dig a deep hole, then fall in it themselves. The trouble they cause comes back on them, and their heads are crushed by their own evil deeds. I will praise you, Lord. You always do right. I will sing about you, the Lord Most High. May God bless the reading of His Word. So, how do you like the idea of the year of celebration, or what may be better known as the year of Jubilee? All debt cleared, property returns to its original owner, the land gets a rest. Sounds pretty sweet to me. In Mark chapter 9, we have the teaching of Jesus that causes many people to trip up. Does He really mean that we should cut off limbs or gouge out our eyes? You know what I want you to do. Yeah. LifespringMedia.com/Facebook. Let me hear your ideas. Psalm chapter 7 again sees David crying out to God to intervene for him with his enemies and rejoicing in God for His righteousness. Have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow. May God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.